As the riders near, he saw that they were soldiers. Their uniforms were the worse for wear and dusty from traveling, but the man in the lead bore himself with the dignity James had always associated with lieutenants and captains and such. The men were brown-faced, like some he had seen in Nacogdoches. This was part of Mexico, so these must be Mexican soldiers, he reasoned. At least they were not the white renegades he had been warned about. But Spanish soldiers had shot his father a long time ago, probably not far from here. He was reassured when Cousin Frank stepped up beside him.
What do you reckon they want with us?
Nothing I can think of. They couldn't have known we were here till they seen us. If I you, I'd lower that rifle and let them know we're friendly.
I ain't friendly till I know what their intentions are.
Lower it.
James had always been taught to defer to age. He eased the rifle down.
I'd like to know first that they're friendly.
It's their country.
Ours too now.
The riders crossed the creek. The soldiers spread out, reining up in a half-moon configuration around the little camp. The leader looked first at James, then at Frank. His black eyes revealed no friendliness.
Who is in command here?
Nobody is, exactly. We all just do our part.
You are the only men here?
We're all there is. Two men, two women, two boys. Welcome to our camp.
Where do you think you are going?
We're going to Nacogdoches, then on down to a place called San Felipe in Stephen Austin's colony.
You have the papers, then? Papers from the Esteban Austin?
We got a letter from my brother saying Austin is holding some land for us.
But nothing from the Austin himself?
Just that letter is all.
Then by the new federal law which has come to us from Mexico City, you have no right to be here. No more Americans are allowed into Tejas if they do not have already the papers from the Austin himself. You are under arrest!
I've never been under arrest in my life. I ain't fixing to start now.
You'll get used to it, friend. Happens a lot in this country.
A youngish American-looking man in buckskin sat slouched on a dun horse behind the soldiers. James had not noticed him before. The man's face had not felt a razor in many days. It was brown, but the color came from sun, not from Mexican blood. He wore a crooked grin that indicated he was taking a certain perverse pleasure from all of this.
You don't look like one of these soldiers.
The young man pushed his horse forward, stopping abreast of the soldier in charge.
You could say that Sergeant Diaz has made me his guest, if you wanted to put the best face on it.
He is under arrest! You are all under arrest!
One of the soldiers swung down from his horse and reached out for Frank's rifle. Frank reluctantly gave it up. As the soldier reached for James's rifle, James stepped back, bringing the weapon up in both hands. The American stepped down lazily from his dun horse. He still had that crooked smile, but the humor had faded from it.
I never was swift with figures, but I could always count up to 12, and that's how many soldiers there is, friend. If I was you, I'd give up before they hurt you.
We came a long ways to get here. My brother's letter said he had everything fixed up for us. We got it right.
You're in Mexico, friend. And in Mexico, it's the man with the rifles who tells you what rights you've got. If you won't give that gun to one of them, then give it to me. But be quick. Sergeant Diaz there, he's got no patience with Americans.
James backed up another step.
Nobody's taking my...
He saw the fist coming, but he was too late to dodge it. It struck him squarely on the chin, snapping his head back. He felt the rifle jerked from him as he staggered, and then went down on his hands and knees. Streaks of lightning flashed in his eyes. Pain lanced from his chin up through his head and back down his neck. He would have sunk flat onto his stomach had Cousin Frank's strong hands not grabbed and held him.
Here's a rifle, Sergeant. The boy's just headstrong and don't understand the situation.
He is arrogant. Like all you Americanos. But he is not in your country now. He is in mine. We will camp here tonight. We'll take you tomorrow. There are other guns?
One more in each wagon.
James saw Annie hand over the rifle she carried beneath her wagon seat. Frank fetched his second one, holding it with his hand away from the trigger guard to demonstrate that he had no intention of using it. It was probably not loaded anyway.
No one will leave this camp tonight.
To James, that seemed a needless statement. With a dozen soldiers camped beside them, they weren't going to sneak two wagons, eight mules, the extra horses, and two milk cows out of here. The American knelt and gingerly touched James's chin.
I didn't go to hurt you, friend.
Sure didn't feel like you meant to do me any good. And don't call me friend.
I meant you nothing but good. Another minute and they'd have gutted you like a catfish.
But we've got a right.
East of the Sabine, you've got rights. Over here, Diaz holds all the cards, and he's got a hard feeling towards Americans. If you don't want to lose your health awful sudden, you better be playing the game by his rules. Come on now. Let me help you up off the ground.
I can get up myself.
All right, so you've got a sore chin, but you're still breathing. Ain't my fault you got caught.
Seems to me like if they wasn't escorting you back to Louisiana, they wouldn't have come across us.
You was going to Nacogdoches, wasn't you?
To register, like my brother said, before we set off down to Austin's colony.
Then it wouldn't have made any difference. They'd have turned you back when you got to Nacogdoches.
Nobody in Louisiana told us there was new law.
They probably ain't heard it yet. Seems like the government in Mexico City taking a bad case of the itch about so many Americans settling in Texas. After all, it ain't been long since the Mexicans took their country away from Spain. Now they're afraid the Americans might take Texas away from Mexico the same way. So they've passed a law to stop any more from coming in. A letter from your brother don't mean a damn thing to Diaz.
It meant several hundred miles in a wagon to us.
There's good land to be had in Louisiana.
We didn't come for Louisiana, we came for Texas. And one way or another, we'll get to where we're headed.
I wouldn't let Diaz hear you say so.
James's stomach roiled in anger and frustration, and he still felt unsteady on his feet. He seated himself on a wagon tongue and watched resentfully as the Mexican soldiers unsaddled their horses. Hell of a thing this was, to travel so far and then be escorted back to Louisiana like criminals. Annie had been studying the American with more curiosity than James thought was proper.
I don't believe we've heard your name.
Diaz has got a name for me, but it's in Spanish. You don't want to hear it. My mother named me Daniel. Daniel Shipman. Over home, they just call me Sly.
Sly? How'd you come by a name like that?
Well, because folks say I'm pretty good at what I do.
And what do you do?
I'm a merchant, you might say. I take American goods over into Texas, and I trade for Texas goods to take back and sell in Louisiana.
What you're saying is that you're a smuggler.
I never did like that word myself. Truth is, I do the folks a service. There's people on one side of the river got goods that people on the other side would like to buy or swap for. But there's overfed lawyers 1,000 miles away saying they mustn't do it. Now, show me in the Bible where it says I can't go around a mud hole when I find one in the road. I simplify people's lives is all. I've always tried to make friends wherever I go. It's a Christian thing to do. And anyhow, it's good for business.
You ain't made a friend of Sergeant Diaz.
Diaz is a good man, after his own lights. You can bribe most of these soldiers and they'll let you go, but Diaz is an honest man. Got a ramrod for a spine so that there ain't no bending him, and he ain't got much use for Americans.
We were fixing to have our supper, Mr. Shipman. We'd be tickled to share with you. Invite Sergeant Diaz, too. Maybe he'll feel a little better towards us.
He mightn't take it kindly, ma'am. He'd figure you was trying to bribe him. He'd still put you across the Sabine tomorrow. Was I you, I'd save my venison. But me, I'd be much obliged to join you and your husband.
I have no husband. This hothead young man is just my brother.
Just her brother, like that didn't mean much. James grimaced. He'd like to have seen Annie get this far without him along. If it had been up to him, she would still be at home in Tennessee.
Well now, ma'am, I must say that comes as a surprise to me. I'd have figured a handsome young woman like you to already have herself a husband. Must be a lot of blind men back where you all come from.
Annie smiled like the sun had just come up.
I believe you have the advantage of me, ma'am. You know my name, but I don't know yours.
I'm Annie Lewis. This is my brother James and my cousin Frank and his wife Hope. And those are their boys Edward and David. We were on our way to join our brothers Michael and Andrew down in Austin's colony.
Michael Lewis. That name's got something familiar about it. Would he be the Michael Lewis that married old man Villaray's daughter from over in Nacogdoches?
The same. We stopped for a day and got acquainted with the Villaray's. Do you know Michael?
No, but old man Villaray taught me most of what I know about my business. He was in it himself for a long time. And what he didn't teach me, old Eli Pleasant did. I've heard Eli speak of Michael Lewis. They was good friends.
Eli visited us in Tennessee.
I still miss that old reprobate. He was killed by some renegade, you know, down in Austin's colony. Him and me, we used to make trips together, trading goods. Wasn't nobody slicker when it come to going around the authorities. Made no difference to Eli if they was on the Mexico side or the other one. He forgot more than most of us will ever know.
If he was here, maybe he could figure some way to help us get out of this mess. We didn't come this far to just turn around and go back to Tennessee.
While he was teaching you so much about smuggling, I don't suppose he taught you a way to go around our problem.
Maybe he did, but things are a little close in this camp. You don't know how many ears are listening. We'll talk about it on the other side of the river.
I've got my family here. I wouldn't want to do anything that'd put them in danger.
Friend, you've taken them into danger as soon as you left home. ¶¶